For our gospel reading today, we're going to do something a little bit different again. Before I begin, just a disclaimer. Jesus does something kind of gross in this story, but please just remember that it was 2,000 years ago, so before the era of social distancing, okay? Are you ready to hear a story? This is a good news story of God from our gospel storyteller, Mark. Now, Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him aside, away from the crowd, and he touched his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha, be opened." And his ears were opened. His tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "See, he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Friends, this is a good news story of God. Thanks be to God. So, back to school time. Anybody here just love going back to school? I totally love going back to school. But is anybody here just groaning and being like, "Oh, school's the worst"? That's valid. Both are valid. So I always loved this time of year for one main reason: back to school supplies. Seriously, my daughter is 1 year old, and I am already dreaming of the cute backpack she will take to holiday preschool. Now, I'm fully aware that my daughter may not grow up to love school as much as I did, and that's valid. But seriously, who doesn't love an awesome pencil case? Yeah? Yeah. So by now, most of our families have been back to school for a few weeks. And even for the kids like me who loved the first day of school, it's possible the glow may be wearing off right about now. After all, school is work, hard work if you're doing it right. And even more significantly, school is community, and community is hard. Unless the adults are intentional about building a culture of care, which many of our educators are, a community can easily devolve into a collective. Collectives are built around conformity, and even more salient for our kids, popularity. And if you don't believe me, watch pretty much any teen TV show or movie ever made, okay? It seems like many of our kids' brains, certainly not all, but many, are hardwired for an awareness of status, of their standing in the crowd. So what is it with crowds, huh? We're stuck with crowds because we are social animals. We have to belong to groups bigger than our family. But still, crowds are just, they're impersonal. And they can behave in ways that are careless and cruel. So Jesus has about had it with the crowd in our story today. Unlike many healing stories, which begin with family or friends bringing a loved one to Jesus for help, this story in the Gospel of Mark begins with a they. Just a featureless crowd of folks from a Gentile town. So what is this collective, this they, up to? They're bringing Jesus a deaf man. A man who shows zero indication that he wants to become a hearing person or even knows what is going on. By the way, most capital D deaf people today, those who speak sign language, would recoil at the thought of being cured of deafness. A cure would be removal from their culture, from their identity, just to be mainstreamed into a different society. But this crowd has selected a deaf man, possibly their lowest ranking member, to become a human fixer-upper project. Was this a diversion for the crowd's entertainment? Was it a quest to fulfill their collective sense of purpose? Perhaps they have heard about this foreign healer, Jesus, and they're setting out to test him, the way kids at school will sniff out the new kid on the block to decide how popular he should be. We don't really know. What we do know is that this crowd does not relate to the deaf person in their community or to Jesus as individuals, but only as roles in their group system. We know this because when Jesus explicitly asks them to please stop gossiping about this man, they refuse. Neither Jesus' privacy nor this man's privacy or well-being is actually their concern. Friends, a crowd can never love you in a way that's meaningful. How I wish someone had told me this when I was a teenager. Popularity in a group is always conditional. It is not the same as being loved by individuals. Only individual love creates lasting relationships. What I do love about the story of this aggravating crowd is it shows us Jesus and how exceptional he was in his ability to love people as individuals. Over and over again in the stories of the gospel and in what we see today in our story from Mark, he has this ability to call individuals out from the crowd, to lead them aside in private to an individual encounter of transforming love and relationship. He befriends people one-on-one. So powerful is Jesus' talent for loving individuals out of the crowd that even the deaf community, the capital D deaf community, while still not loving that this story depicts someone being quote unquote cured of deafness, points to this story as proof that Jesus loves and cares for deaf individuals and does not shy away from them because of their culture. This is a pretty amazing reclamation, considering that this very healing story has been used by Christian churches for the past 200 years as a theological excuse for suppressing the teaching of sign language and forcing deaf children to learn how to speak and lip read. A popular teacher of this Christian oralism movement from the turn of the century justified this abuse of children by saying, "We are all children of the one Christ who gave us the example that the minister of Christ must open the mouth of the deaf." No wonder only 2% of the deaf community worldwide choose to be or remain Christian. If you thought the saliva in the story was gross, what Christians have done with this story is appalling. But the good news is that while a crowd or a religion might never really love you, people do. Your family, your friends, individuals at your church, and certainly Jesus. The unique gift of the love that they have to offer you, the kind of love that is so different from the crowds, is the ability to be open to who you are. So no one is perfect at loving, but you will notice that most of the individuals in your life who love you for you will eventually come around to accepting you exactly as you are and exactly as you turn out to be. A crowd can't do this because the collective needs you to stay in your role. But the love of the people in your life can change and flow as you change. It's not always easy. It falls short. It disappoints. It can take a while. But these are just signs that the love is real. It's based on real people. Love means being open to another's reality. And not so coincidentally, this happens to be the precise meaning of the Aramaic word in our story today. Did you guys catch funny sounding word? I'll repeat it. Ephatha. It's such a good word, I'm gonna ask for you to repeat it after me. So I'll say it again. Ephatha. So that's E-P-H-P-H-A-T-H-A. And it means be opened. And although Jesus is saying it to this man's ears, he is not saying it for this man's benefit. This man could not hear it. He is saying it for the benefit of the crowd who will not leave them alone. In this way, it can be an instruction for all of us. Ephatha, be open. Be open to those who are culturally different. Be open to people as individuals, not just as status holders who can be ranked in a crowd. be open to share and receive other people's truth and love. Be open to your own sacred worth and the value of other individuals. Be open to forming meaningful personal relationships. Be open to intimacy with the individuals you know you, who care about you, who you care about. And be open to encountering strangers and making new friends. So as our children and youth are once again brave enough to enter back into the collective of human society known as school, I think Jesus has given us the perfect back-to-school blessing. So, it's an Aramaic word. I'm going to ask it if we can say it together again, three times. Maybe the first one can be for those around you you wish would be more open, and maybe the second two can be for you, a prayer for your heart. Let's say it together three times as a blessing for our children going back to school. Okay, you remember? It's Ephatha. Ephatha, got it? All right, let's do it. Ephatha! 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 Be open. Amen.